Bob Jones University presents Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. As founder of the world's largest fundamental Christian university and a preacher who loved people, Dr. Jones influenced thousands to come to the Savior. Even until the time he went to live with his Lord, his practical insight into the commandments of God and the hearts of men helped people all over the world find the answers to life in the Word of Truth.
I want to call your attention to some verses in the 5th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Now, when did that happen? That happened when the Christians were in the midst of persecution. That's when things prospered. You know, if you stand for Christ, you take on his enemies, you see. You have to take on his enemies. All right, multitudes were added. What a powerful movement. We're not far this side of Pentecost. Peter and John had been to the temple and healed a man and attracted attention. And things began to pop, as we say, around there. And they were all stirred up and looked wonderful. And they were healing the sick, you know, and working miracles as the Lord had promised them they should. But remember, he didn't tell me I could work one. He told his disciples that they'd have power to do that. But let's keep in mind now, we don't see those things today as they saw. And God didn't mean for us to, because he said we walk by faith and not by sight. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and no sign shall be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. The sign of the prophet Jonah was that a man was swallowed by a sea monster, and there wasn't any miracle of that. The miracle was he wasn't digested. That was a miracle, that Jesus Christ could stay in the belly of a sea monster 3 days and come out alive. That's a miracle. And so he said that was a sign. That'd be the sign. You know, Jesus Christ came the first time to die, he rose from the dead, and then sent the Holy Ghost, and men were to preach his gospel in the power of the Holy Ghost. And these disciples went out with the power of God, and he gave them the power to heal and so forth. Now, he does sometimes hear prayer for the sick. We ask God in the name of Jesus. Sometimes he sees fit to hear us. He didn't hear Paul. Paul besought the Lord 3 times. He was a mighty good man, had something the matter with him. He had a thorn in the flesh and never was removed. God didn't take it away him. He's not going to always take away your infirmities. He may sometimes heal you. He said he would sometimes heal the sick, and if it's his will to do it, but not always his will. Wasn't his will in the case of Paul. But wonderful things were happening. Marvelous things were taking place. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now, what a movement that was. My, it looked like it was marvelous. Here, blind people were seeing, deaf people were hearing, crippled people were able to get up and walk, and marvelous things were happening, and homes that had been in sorrow were set free. Why, it looks like Christianity is about to take the world. But you wait a minute. Don't fool yourself. There came also a multitude of the cities round about under Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, which were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. Then what? In the midst of it. In the midst of what? Listen. Whenever God moves, always persecution arises. Never forget it now. For 2,000 years, practically, of Christian history, down the corridors of the ages, wherever God the Almighty begins to move, Satan organizes forces. And sometimes his forces are religious forces. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with them, which is a sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. What? Yes. What? Indignation. Yes, indignation. That's what it says here in the Bible. Indignation about what? Sick folks getting well. Blind people seeing. Marvelous things taking place. A revival. An indignation on the part of the religious bosses of the day. That's what took place. Ecclesiastical dictatorship got mad. Indignant to think that anybody would do something they didn't authorize. See? That anybody would start something. You remember when they came to Jesus and said, we saw a man casting out devils in thy name. We forbade him. He's doing it in thy name, you know. You know what you do in the name of Jesus? He said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, I'm with you. And we told him to stop it. We said, we run this machine. It's our machine. It's our organization. We got a right to run it. And he said, is that so? He said, he's not with us. He's against us, you know. What do you stop him for? We cast out devils. Let me tell you something. No man who knows the Lord and loves the Lord and is serving the Lord will rise up in ecclesiastical opposition to any movement that's blessed of God. God isn't divided. You can always test the spirituality of ecclesiasticism by the way it treats the old-time gospel and spiritual results. Now, can you conceive this? Well, I can. I can understand it, see. And that came a multitude of the cities round about. All these things bring the sick people. So they get well. Poor, tired mothers bringing their children. Heartbroken people. Somebody whose child was racked with pain. And said, if we can just let the shadow of Peter fall on them, and this mighty movement started. And the high priest, not the ordinary fellows, the big boys, fellows up top, you know, they started it. They let the other common folks alone being all right. But the big boy starts the opposition. Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which in the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Indignation? What for? Well, they'd been put on the spot. They couldn't do it, you see. What these men were doing, they couldn't do it. These humble people, these disciples, these fishermen who had been with Jesus, these folks that testified that Jesus had been raised from the dead, these folks who had been through Pentecost could do what they couldn't do, and they couldn't forgive them for doing what they couldn't do, you know. And so they rose up in indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. My. You say, oh, well, we wouldn't do anything like that. Listen, you wouldn't dare do that, anything like that in America right now. See? But human nature would do that in America if it could do it. You wouldn't dare do it. In America, with freedom of worship and liberty and all that, where we have the opportunity, where, thank God, it's been protected. And it's a wonderful thing to live in a land where they can't put you in jail as long as you let the other fellow do what he wants to do. You don't stop him either. You don't stop him. These people weren't trying to stop anybody. They weren't trying to overthrow Judaism. They weren't trying to overthrow the priests and then that crowd. They were going to doing a job. And if doing the job for God makes the other crowd look bad, you can't help it. You can't help it. That's what's always been the trouble. Some little, lowly, humble, unknown fellow comes along, you know, and makes the other crowd look bad. And so they can't forgive that, to save their lives. And they put him in prison, in the common prison. And the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak. They couldn't stop him. The only way you could stop them was to kill them and then somebody else take the place. You know, when God Almighty's in a thing, you can't stop it. Could you stop the sun from rising this morning? You couldn't, could you? No. Can you stop the sun from going down the western horizon? No, you couldn't do that, could you? Could you stop the stars from coming out tonight? No. Why? God's running the universe. See? God Almighty is on the throne. He presses a button and lights up every morning. And he lets the sun go down the western slopes and then pulls down the curtain of night and shoots it full of sunset fire. He does all that, you see. That's God's universe that he's operating. And the gospel, which is power of God and the salvation, is God's gospel. It's loaded with power. It's irresistible. You get to the people, some will reject it. It's the power of life unto life or of death unto death. It kills or it makes alive. Some men hear it and harden their hearts and live in darkness. Brother, men come along and respond and they're saved. And as long as you can preach the gospel in the world, you have the dynamite of God. You have high exposure. The humblest Christian, listening to me now, has something that the greatest king on the throne doesn't have unless the king's a Christian. You may not have the influence, but you have the power. You know, it wasn't influence these men had. They had no influence. They couldn't stay out of jail. They could be arrested by the priest and put in prison, and common prison, for doing nothing in the world except healing the sick and making blind people see and preaching the gospel and telling them that Jesus was able to save them and demonstrating as they went along what he could do, this Christ that had been rejected. Their power was there. They put them in prison. They had power in prison. What we need today is not more influence. We need power. Everybody's seeking influence. Everybody's looking for a pull somewhere. Everybody's looking for an opportunity to get some help from somebody who has influence, you know. Listen to me. You've nothing to fear. If God be for you, who can be against you? And he'll take care of you in the place he wants to use you, wherever that place is. And so it's a wonderful thing to know that a prison made nothing. You couldn't stop them with all the ecclesiastical opposition. You can't stop anybody that's on business for God if the person's willing to go on, be true to God, and faithful to God, won't stop. Just won't stop, just keeps going. You can't stop him. How about dedicating our lives to him, each one of us resolving that whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be true to him. Let it cost what it may. Let it mean what it may. I'm going to be true to him. Wherever this road leads, our Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful. We read these wonderful things in the Bible. We have the same God. We don't have exactly the same job to do. We have the same God. We have the same gospel to preach. The same powers in this gospel help us to be faithful in all things and true to thee in everything we do. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors of the faith. If you're interested in an educational institution that stands without apology for the old-time religion and the absolute authority of the Bible, which emphasizes the fundamentals of the Christian faith and has high academic standards, write to the Director of Admissions, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Listen again next week for The Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.